We, of course, began this series. Of course, I was out of town last week there in Egypt, but the previous two Wednesday or Sunday nights, rather, we began this series called As an Eagle. And our text, of course, is Deuteronomy 32:11. And read with me, if you would, that opening statement of verse number 11, Deuteronomy 32. Those three words together, same with me, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. We're going to study that a little bit next Sunday night. But if you will flip over now with me in Isaiah 40, of course, the famous mount ups with as eagles text. Verse number 28 is where I'll start to read Isaiah chapter 40. If you're with me, the Bible says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God," that's Elohim, the person of God, "the Lord," that's Yahweh, the passion of God, the creator, that's Bara, the power of God. So when he's talking about the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator, he's talking about the person, the passion, and the power of God. Notice he says, of the ends of the earth, notice these next words, they are so awesome. So, matter of fact, read the next two little statements with me tonight. What does it say about our God? He what? Fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. His incalculable person, passion, and power, can, no matter how long you study, you'll never exhaust the knowledge of him. Verse 29 says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." Oh, thank God for verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Say it with me out loud tonight, church. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Wings as eagles and as an eagle. Let's jump in tonight right there. Let's pray and ask the Lord to meet with us tonight. Brother Todd, lift your voice, if you will, and pray, and we'll jump into the message for a few moments tonight. Yes. Yes, Lord. Praise your name. God bless you. You may be seated. We've learned in our study thus far that the eagle is one of the largest birds in all of the world. It is a symbol of bravery and courage and power and strength and superiority. There are 68 different species we've learned of eagles. The two most prominent that we know the most about, that we study the most, are the bald eagle, of course, the symbol of our nation, and of course, the golden eagle. And of course, these two great birds, the bald eagle's wingspan is 7.5 feet in adulthood, and the golden eagle's just a little bit bigger at 8 feet. But what's amazing to me is the speed with which they attack. The bald eagle can fly nearly 100 miles an hour. The golden eagle can double that and fly at almost 200 miles an hour. We've learned that the lion may be the king of the jungle, but the eagle is the king of the sky. And what we began three Wednesday or Sunday nights ago is beginning to study attributes that we can learn from the eagle. We said in our very first lesson, it was a lesson about aptitude. We learned that an eagle has a sharp vision and keen eyesight. We learned in our second lesson, we learned a lesson about altitude. An eagle lives in high places. Oh, would to God tonight we would strive to live higher than we do. Amen. But then a week ago Sunday night we learned about attitude. An eagle is a fearless creature. It don't matter how big the object is. It doesn't matter if the foe is human, if the foe is another animal. The eagle will attack without thought or regard because he is a fearless creature. And the reality is tonight that successful people are fearless Christians. They face problems head on. And I'm speeding tonight for time. But we ended last time we were here. Our fourth lesson is a lesson about the eagle's appetite. And I won't re-preach this, but I want to deal just a little bit with this one tonight before we launch into some new material. We learned that an eagle rarely eats dead meat. Now, they will eat what we call carrion, but it is only in desperation. It is never their preferred method to nourish themselves. They only eat it if they are in desperation. They prefer to eat meat from prey. They kill themselves. They want it to be fresh. And I don't want to re-preach this again tonight, but you and I, if we're going to be the Christian God wants us to be, we got to eat our own food. Amen. Thank God for preaching. Thank God for teaching. Thank God for radio. Thank God for Christian television. Thank God for CDs. Thank God for all of that. But listen, you and I got to get into the sincere milk of the Word. We got to discover the meat of the Word for ourselves. We got to quit eating dead meat. You know, it's scary to me how many Christians admit that they rarely read their Bible, that they rarely have a devotional life, that they rarely, if ever, study the Bible. And yet the Bible commands us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. Hey, listen, an eagle rarely eats dead meat. I'm not going to re-preach all of this tonight, but I want to pick up where we ended two Sunday nights ago when we said that when an eagle is discerning regarding what they will eat, we said that the eagle has an unusual ability. You'll remember our eyesight is 200,000 receptors per square centimeter. That's the human eye. 200,000 receptors per square centimeter. But the eagle's is 1.6 million receptors per square centimeter. In other words, they have 8 times better eyesight than humans do. And Brother Ken, I don't understand all the biology about this, but we discovered in our study of eagles that eagles can look directly at the sun. Historians say that the eagle can look on the sun in its brightest splendor and it never is days. And this is where I want to zero in for a moment tonight. It's one of the traits that separates the eagle from other birds. Now, this sounds a little barbaric, but it is not that uncommon in the bird kingdom for other species of baby birds to get in the nest of another species and actually be raised by another kind of bird that's not it, because the mother can't discern. They're all little and they've been in her nest and she raises them as her own, but that will never ever happen in an eagle's nest. Brother Ken, it's sort of a bizarre thing to realize how the eagle does it, but she watches her young, and how she determines if they're really hers is, can they look at the sun? If they cannot look at the sun, she literally will throw them out of the nest, not allowing an imposter to make its way into her family. And what a challenge that is to all of us tonight. Who we allow to influence us, who we allow in our sphere of orbit, ought to be people who can look at the sun. I'm not talking about S-U-N. I'm talking about the S-O-N. Don't let people get inside of your head. Don't let people have heavy influence in your life if you're not sure they can watch the sun. You say, preacher, I don't know if my son or daughter's saved. I don't know if they're right with God. Can I ask you, have you ever seen them watching the sun? You don't have to be a theologian for the evidence that you know God to be there where it's obtainable by someone around you. You know, I'm not going to be ugly about this tonight, but a lot of folks claim they've been backslidden, but the problem is they've been backslidden ever since they got saved. Can I tell you something? You can't backslide if you've never slid forward. Dads, let me beg you tonight. Make it a priority to teach your children how to look at the sun. So I don't know how to do it, preacher. You get busy, you doing it, and you'll be amazed. Most of what our kids learn, they learn by observation anyway. We can tell them all we want, but it's what we do that they really follow. Would to God every boy and girl in this church grew up believing, I can look at the sun because my mom and daddy do it all the time. I'm going to take my life and I'm going to follow their path. I'm going to keep my eyes upon Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, speaking of that, I want to give you another lesson tonight. This is a lesson about aeronautics. We said a little bit about eagles flying high, but we're going to go a little deeper into this tonight as we look at this next lesson. This lesson is a lesson about aeronautics, number 5. Remember this, eagles are high flyers and they are master flyers. You might recall a couple of services ago, I said, they don't fly like other birds. They primarily soar. Now, they will flap their wings to get airborne, but their primary method of flight is to soar on the currents of the winds. That's why they can fly so high. Now, let me just put the rubber down where the road meets tonight and say a couple of things. You'll never catch eagles hanging around with yard birds. You'll never see an eagle with a pigeon. You'll never see an eagle with a sparrow. You'll never see an eagle hanging around with blue jays or cardinals. You say, why, preacher? Because they fly too high for those kind of birds. I don't want to be ugly tonight, but I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to fly any higher than the people you hang around with. An eagle is a bird that takes advantage of the wind so he can soar. The eagle gets above the fog, he gets above the mist, he gets above the clouds because they are aeronautically high flyers and master flyers. Let me say several things about their flight. Brother Ken, when they fly with a purpose. You know what the eagle understands? He was designed to fly. I know that seems simple tonight, but can I tell you something tonight, child of God? You were designed to fly. The Bible says, mount up with wings as eagles. Hey, listen, I don't want to be lower than I should be. I'm not talking about humility. We all need to be low in that way. I'm talking about reaching our potential. I'm talking about doing what God made you and I to do tonight. Can I beg you, don't hang around people that don't want to let you fly. Don't hang around people that don't believe in flying. Don't hang around people that are always after you and pulling you back because they don't want you to get too far ahead of them. The eagle flies with a purpose. Can I say, secondly, he flies for pleasure. From what those that study the eagles teach us, the eagle gets its greatest joy when it's nearest the sun. Gets its greatest joy when it's nearest the sun. Can I talk about Brother Joe? By the way, he did a great job preaching a week ago, Sunday morning and Sunday night. I know we all love Joe, and everybody's rooting for Joe, and we all are thrilled for him and Jessica, but some of you grew up with Joe. And I don't know that there was ever a time that Joe backslid or got, you know, into any sin that I know of in a bad way, but those of you that grew up with Joe, you know Joe's warts, you know Joe's imperfections, you know Joe's weaknesses. Then he comes here and he preaches. If you're not careful, you won't take him quite as seriously as you should because you know when he was a boy. You know some of his weaknesses. Joe's not better than you, young people. What's happened is Joe has done some flying. Joe's been hanging around the sun a little bit. And when he comes back, can I beg you, don't pull him down to our level or don't listen, don't turn him off because he's saying stuff that you don't think he ought to be saying because you say, well, he used to be like us, yeah, but he learned to fly. I'll say this about Joe, and I'm not saying because his mom and dad are on the front row tonight or his grandpa sitting right there and grandma sitting right there, but I'll tell you what, I've been so impressed about Joe ever since he got called to preach is the preachers he gravitated to. Joe didn't gravitate to the big names and the popular and the flashy young preachers. You know who Joe gravitated to? Some of the old timers. One man, and if you spend any time around Joe, you'll hear him talk about Brother Daniel Buchanan, who, of course, preached in our church a couple years ago in one of our spring revivals. I mean, probably, Brother Ennis, you and I, Joe would say we're his pastor, but I sort of feel like we might be in second place. You know, I don't mind that a bit. I'm humbled that Joe has chosen a man like Daniel Buchanan to have so much influence in his life. You say, well, what's your opinion of Daniel Buchanan, preacher? As old school as you can absolutely get. And he's a good preacher, but that ain't what's most impressive about Daniel Buchanan. It's that he's a prayer warrior. How many young preachers do you know are gravitating to old-fashioned preachers that are prayer warriors instead of young and good-looking and talented younger preachers. You know what Brother Joe found out? And I've never asked his permission to talk about this. I'm just telling you my observation. He found out Brother Daniel could see the sun. He found out Brother Daniel could fly real high, and Brother Joe wants to fly like that. The eagle flies for pleasure. He flies for purpose. Can I say this? He flies for purity. Sometimes a virus can attack the beak of an eagle. This fascinates me, Brother Ken. The way an eagle deals with that virus that has attacked his beak is he soars high enough that the air pressure can burst the buildup on his beak. He knows when you're sick, the only solution is to get higher. Boy, there's a sermon right there, isn't there, tonight? There are just so many analogies tonight. He flies for purity. He flies for perspective. The high flight allows for the proper perspective of the earth. Can I say this tonight? Far too many people are too small and too selfish. And the reason is they don't fly high enough to get a large enough perspective. You know what's thrilling about going to a place like Egypt is you realize that as a great preacher friend of mine who's in heaven, I used to say, we're on the small end of something awful big. When I was in the presence of these Sudanese and Egyptian pastors, I realized we ain't all there is. We're not the center of the world. We're not the center of the universe. We're just a part of the plan of God. And sometimes if we're not careful, and I'm so thankful that our church has caught this vision, but we have had now six straight great years of missions, and I pray we'll have an even bigger one next year. Man, we got probably right now 8-10 missionaries that I got to either get here for missions conference or get here sometime in the next few months, because I want to see us take on every one of them. Man, there's so much that needs to be done in this world, and isn't it awesome to be a part of it? It all is connected to our perspective. I thought about this, Brother Ken. He flies for purpose, for pleasure, for purity, for perspective, but the eagle also flies for peace. The flying eagle has no concerns when he gets that high. He just gets caught up in the currents of the wind. And can I challenge my brothers and sisters who, like me, battle every day with this old world we live in? The answer is not to quit. The answer is not to give up. The answer is not to just live for yourself. The answer is to soar high enough where you realize it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Hey, peace doesn't come from a bottle. Some of you are going to look forward all week to getting together with family, and when it's all over, you're going to be disappointed because things didn't turn out like you dreamed. Don't get your peace. I love family, but don't get your peace from family. I love it when I got a few dollars in my pocket, but don't get peace from having money in your pocket. The Bible says the peace that passes all understanding, we get it from Jesus Christ. We get it from Jesus Christ. Can I just give you, I'm going to try to give you the sixth one tonight and then we'll be done. But associate with people that will take you to another level. I'm not being ugly at all. I'm not above anyone else. But you know who I want to influence me as a pastor? I want to be around people that want to do something bigger for God. I want to be around the churches that I want to associate us with. We've developed, and I know we always have had a relationship, but we've developed a very special relationship with Tabernacle Baptist Church over in Wilson in the last several years. You say, why have we done that, preacher? Because I'm impressed with them people. I'm impressed with their faith. I'm impressed with their vision. I'm impressed. Their pastor, of course, is a world-class guy. But every time I look at that church, I get new inspiration. I get new ideas. I get fire. Hey, listen, I'm not saying we got to just fellowship with people that got big churches, but I tell you what I am going to do tonight. I'm going to fellowship with people that believe in big churches. You may have a little one, and that's the way God ordered it. I'm going to don't have one bit of respect less for you. But, hey, I don't want to be around people that think that's okay. Well, you know, it's just us four, no more. Matter of fact, can I say something here? Don't waste your time. That's a pretty harsh statement. But don't waste your time with negative people. Don't hang around with naysayers. All they're trying to do is keep you from flying. Let me go to the sixth one tonight, and I'll finish with this one. I like this one. Another lesson we learn from the eagle is a lesson about acclimation. Brother Kelly, when I studied this out, this probably, there's one more point I'm going to give you that might be even more special than this one, but this one's right towards the top. Eagles love the storm. Do you know what all the other birds do when a storm comes? Every one of them head for cover. Every one of them head to a safe place. But the eagle says, going to be a good day today. Because he knows what that storm brings with it is a lot of strong wind. And the stronger the wind, the higher he can soar. Watch an eagle when a storm comes. All the other birds head for cover. The eagle heads for the sky. Eagles are not flappers like other birds. They're soarers. In fact, eagles challenge the storm. The eagle takes advantage of the very storm that lesser birds fear. They head for cover. He heads for the clouds. When clouds gather, the eagle uses a storm wind to lift him higher. He's not panicking. He's not restless. He's not resisting. He is gliding. He's resting on the wind. Listen, that's what God wants me to do. That's what God wants you to do. Listen, when you and I face challenges, he don't want us to run for cover. He wants us to soar higher. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. You don't maybe know it, but your greatest day is your worst day. Remember the famous words of the famous British Prime Minister Winston Churchill as he walked the streets of London during the Blitz? He called that time in their history our finest hour. What was so fine about it, preacher? Didn't matter how many Luftwaffe bombers Hitler sent across that channel, he couldn't stop the British. They didn't bend, they didn't break, they didn't bow. He said, it's our finest hour. And the truth is that the greatest influence you're going to have and I'm going to have in our life is going to be connected to a storm. Brother Ken, when you got up and testified this morning, he was talking about a storm in your life. None of us look forward to them. Brother Terry, I'd never wish in a million years that March day we all drove by with our cars and honked horns to try to show comfort to our friends, to our sister and brother who lost their daughter. But the storms define us. See, the truth is, and Brother Ken mentioned it this morning, it's only because you survived the storm that you got something to say. Anybody can fly high because they're talented. Anybody can achieve because they got a great IQ and give all the credit to themselves. But when you pick yourself off the mat after you've been knocked down, you ain't doing this. You're saying, the eagle loves a storm. What a verse. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? Give you rest. You ever wonder why he gives us rest? So we'll be stronger, so we can soar again tomorrow. Here's the life lesson. I know this is crazy, but it's the truth tonight. Get excited about the storms in your life. Challenge bring opportunity. Listen, we could see the opportunities wrapped in our challenges, or we can look at our challenges and view them as something that's bad, something that's dark, something that's difficult. But listen, my friend, I want to embrace my challenges, not run from them. I want to learn from them, not just spend the remainder of my life lamenting them. You know this is true. Nearly every kid who ever learned how to ride a bike got some blood coming down their knees. You know what those bloody knees did? They taught you something not to do next time you got on a bike. If you've learned all the skills you've learned in your life and you ain't ever crashed once, man, I feel sorry for you, man. Half the fun of growing up is, you ever think about the stupid stuff we did when we was kids? The stuff that they did for us when we were kids. All of our playgrounds had all metal toys on them. I'm trying to figure out who the demented person was that invented them merry-go-rounds on playgrounds. How many of y'all got hurt on one of those growing up? Man, busted lips, busted noses, arms broken, flying off. I mean, kids flying. I mean, bloody murder. And I'm not picking on nobody, but whoever heard of a helmet for a kid riding a bike? Man, if we just saw you in a helmet, we just said, your mama, you're a mama's boy. You know what you got a helmet on for, son? I grew up in the era where the coolest bicycle in the community, Brother Todd, was a Stingray. Sissy bars, banana seat. My brother and I, we got into some crazy stuff. We used to find old junk bikes and saw the front forks off of them. And we'd pound them on our front forks and drill a hole through and put a screw on it and turn our bikes into choppers. I mean, I remember one time, Brother Ken, my brother, one of his Stingrays, he had four sets of forks on front of that thing, man. I mean, the chopper was longer than the bike. That was great until he hit his first jump, amen. And every single one of the front forks went its own direction, amen. Next thing I knew, he was ruining my bike. I'm joking a little bit, but we learn new skills. We grow, we get stronger from the storms that we face. Listen, and I'm trying to find a landing spot tonight. When we face our challenges head on, knowing that they will make us stronger, they will make us better, what we learn is that we can fly higher. I said we can fly higher. When storms come, all the animals want to hide. Chickens want to hide. Turkeys want to hide. All the other birds want to hide. But not the eagle. When he sees them old storm clouds rolling in, Brother Mike, he says, it's going to be a good day today. We're going to do some big time flight. We're going to get up there in the stratosphere today. I guess the question I want to end with tonight, do you want to be a turkey? Or a chicken? Or do you want to be an eagle? Our text tonight says, and you know the verse, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Say it with me out loud. They shall mount up with wings as eagles.